Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Ehud Barak is one of those statesmen whose Wikipedia entry stretches for pages. He was Israel's 10th prime minister from 1999 to 2001. That was after he had been foreign minister and before a long stretch as defense minister. Ehud Barak is coming to Baltimore tomorrow for the Baltimore Speaker Series, and he joins us on the phone now. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
Let me go straight to politics. You were leader of the Labor Party in Israel, which is on the left. In recent months, you have been sharply critical of the current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who is part of Likud, a party on the right. You wrote in the Washington Post last month that what you called Netanyahu's, quote, reckless conduct, close quote, has damaged Israel's relations with the U.S., resulting in less U.S. aid to Israel. What conduct in particular are you condemning?
It's a long story. All along the years of President Obama in power, the relationship were not very smooth. But in the last year and a half, especially after the signing of the Iran deal, it became something which goes beyond what we had used to in Israel. Namely, the Iran deal was signed. It was a bad deal, to the best of our judgment, both myself and Netanyahu, as many others in Israel. But even when he discussed with me what to do, I made it clear, I think we have to share bluntly, frankly, our views with the administration, with the White House, with Congress members and senators, and with the American public, but there is a thin line that should not be crossed. Israel should not intervene as a government in the American politics, in an internal process that takes place inside the American body politic according to American traditions and laws. And I thought that by trying to intervene that deep, it was a great mistake that put the bipartisan support of Israel into a tough test. It tainted the relationship with the White House, and it caused us not to deal with the real challenge, which was to sit down behind closed doors with the president and agree on what should be done next in order to make sure that we know what happens in Iran, that we shape together or can influence the triggers that might bring back to mind the sanctions, or even under what circumstances even the military option should be brought back to the table. I have no doubt that in the first few years the Iranians will not break the deal. They would like to harvest all the benefits that might come with it. But in regard to the second half of the decade, it's much less clear.
You talked about internal politics. Obviously, the United States is on the verge of an election. We don't know the result, although the polls point to the next president being a Democrat. And Prime Minister Netanyahu is looking at something less than another year in office. I'd love to get a sense of, when you look ahead a few months or longer, what you think Israel-U.S. relations will be like.
First of all, I hope they will improve and become more smooth and more business-like, more working relationship with much more mutual trust, and that it will be effective relationships for both sides. I think that experience tells us that whoever will be elected, she or he, the president, will find the right way to propose, to be ready to have good working relationship with Jerusalem. That was the case all along history. I happened to participate in meetings with American presidents since Ford many years ago, and met one-on-one with all presidents since Bush Senior. President Bush Sr. So basically, I know that whatever we saw before election, it ended up that whoever was elected by the American people, based on the common or shared values and having Israel as an outpost of Western way of life and the Middle East which is a quite tough and sometimes hostile neighborhood, made our relation very good. In fact, I should admit once again that having served as Israel defense minister along most of the years of Obama in power, that President Obama, in regard to the security relationship with Israel, supporting our defense, protecting Israel's qualitative military edge, and encouraging and nurturing cooperation between our intelligence communities, he was better than I can recall we ever experienced. He was very consistent in supporting Israel on anything that had to do with its security. That's why I said and kept telling the Israeli public that President Obama, Vice President Biden, Hillary at the time, Kerry later on, they're not part of the problem of Israel. They are part of the solution, even if you have a disagreement with them from time to time.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Kass speaking with former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. He's coming to Baltimore for the Baltimore Speakers Series. You had a long career in the military. How does that affect your view of how to approach peace with the Palestinians?
I watched the Palestinian leadership for decades through the sight of the rifle. But later on, when I turned to politics, I was deeply involved both with Prime Minister Rabin and later on my own, and even later as a part of the government of Ehud Olmert and then Netanyahu, in trying to promote our relationship. I believe that, you know, the Mideast is a tough neighborhood, no mercy for the weak, no second chance for those who cannot defend themselves. But the good news is that Israel is the strongest power in the region, probably 1,000 miles around Jerusalem. And it can afford, from position of strength and self-confidence, to navigate its security interests and try to reduce tension. So the nation cannot choose its neighbors. They are whoever they are. And we have the Arabs around us. We have the Palestinians as our immediate neighbors. And we should settle the things with them without giving up any security interest. Israel will never, ever capitulate or yield to terror, period. That's our policy, widely agreed all over the public and political spectrum. And the same applies to our security interest. We'll never give up anything which is important for our security. But here comes the debate. Because some Israelis believe that in order to keep our security, we have to keep controlling the whole area between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean. It's a small piece of area about the size of New Jersey. And others, like myself, think that we will be much better off if we could delineate a line within this Holy Land in a way that will include all our security interests, all the settlement blocks, all the Israeli suburbs in Jerusalem, even beyond the 67 line. But a line within which we will have a solid Jewish majority for generations to come, and beyond which there will be a place for a Palestinian viable demilitarized state. And I think that arrangement is much better securing the future of Israel as a Jewish democratic state, because if you think of the alternatives, it will lead inevitably, if Israel reign over the whole area with millions of Palestinians inside who have their own national aspirations, it will inevitably lead to either non-Jewish or non-democratic state, and neither is the Zionist dream. So we are there to take our fate in our hands and out of strength and self-confidence to make the right decisions to promote our long-term identity, our future, and our nature as a Jewish democratic state.
One last question. From what I read, you are a very vigorous 74-year-old. I read a news story just a couple weeks ago about your investment in an emergency services app that connects with first responders even if the internet connection breaks. I have also read speculation that you may get back into politics. Is that something you're considering?
I hope I won't have to go back to politics. I already have been in all the possible positions, both in the armed services, in the intelligence community, as you mentioned, Minister of Interior, of Foreign Affairs, of Defense for many years, and Prime Minister. So I had no jobs that I didn't serve in. But I'm caring about the future of the country, so I'm involved in helping the people to open their eyes, to see realities around them, and to pass the right judgment. In the meantime, I'm involved in high-tech activities that I have certain expertise or understanding in cybersecurity, in homeland security, and in this company that you have mentioned. It's called Reporty, which basically is a live video streaming service or application that can connect directly to the first responders and dispatchers in any country. It's now working. You can land in any of 160 countries on Earth if you have this app. You don't have to wonder where is how to reach emergency services if something happens. And it makes them working very effectively, any such first responder agency, which adapt the system. It can be implanted both in a new system built from scratch for safe or smart cities, or in old legacy systems of any major city or nation state on Earth. And it becomes part of the repertoire that the first responders and dispatchers can get their feed in video streaming, which is much, much more effective, more telling. In fact, it already works in Israel, in Magen David Adom, which is the equivalent of Red Cross. And it saves lives. Every few days, someone who might otherwise lose his life is saved just because the paramedics at the command center can see exactly what happened and can direct the people at the arena what exactly to do.
It sounds exciting, and you sound like a good salesman for it. Good luck with it.
You.
I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak will speak tomorrow night at the Meyerhoff part of the Baltimore Speaker Series. I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. Thanks for joining us. Be back with us tomorrow.